This weekend, as we know, is the first weekend of October, and it's Respect Life Sunday and the beginning of Respect Life Month. The church calls us to reflect on the issues that face us in our present culture and throughout our lives as far as respect life and the dignity of the human person from the womb to the tomb and throughout all the seasons of our lives. We call this the consistent life ethic. It's a lot more than one issue. It's a lot more than pro-conception and pro-birth, but truly pro-life, pro-marriage, pro-woman, and pro-man as husband and wife. And so the church invites us, in light of the readings today from the Liturgy of the Word, to reflect on this and to pray about it and discuss it among family and friends, and to pray for the intentions of our leaders, both civilly and spiritually. If you want to know what that really means, we think about the Hudson. Hello. Well, this is the way they used to worship in the old days, so we'll just do our best. Wow, yeah. Somebody blew out the candles. No, that's keeps us in the light. Well, anyhow, the meeting of the Hudson family of Wakanda, Illinois, just outside of Chicago. The Hudsons are a huge Catholic family. I do mean huge. Lena and Tom Hudson have 8 children, with a 9th on the way. But this morning I want to tell you about the 7th child, a little girl named Sarah. When Sarah was born 4 years ago, she weighed only 4 pounds. She was diagnosed with a syndrome, a serious genetic disorder caused by the presence of an extra 18th chromosome. It actually happens more than you think. Some of you may know that Rick Santorum, who was in state government, his daughter has the same condition. It is like Down syndrome, but with more severe effects. When Sarah was born, for example, her jaw did not have enough strength to nurse, and Lena had to pump breast milk around the clock and slowly give it to her with a special feeder. Today, Sarah has the developmental abilities of a 4-month-old and will probably never develop beyond the level of 9 months. Pope John Paul II reminds us that we are called to take care of the vulnerable, like Sarah. She can't talk. She can't stand. She can't sit for long periods of time. She's susceptible to sickness and requires constant attention. But she has already beaten the odds. Doctors didn't expect her to live past 1 year. Her mother, Lena, was interviewed about how she raises a child like this, in addition to caring for the 7 others in her household. Her husband, Tom, took over caring for Sarah when Lena gave birth to their 8th child. And all the kids have to pitch in and help out. She said they have learned to be selfless. They have learned to love. Every day they see someone who needs more care than they do. And yet there is great joy in that family. Sarah loves to laugh, and everyone shares in that joy. Sarah, her mother says, is our path to heaven. Respect life. On Friday night, I was called to UPMC Carlisle, Bob and Mary Pat Povrick's daughter was there with her husband, Joseph, and they were 13 weeks pregnant. And you know that a baby is not viable at that age. And they prepared to lose their little boy. And Michael eventually was born and lived a few hours, and they were able to hold him as he passed. Another young altar server that used to serve at this altar is in one of our government military academies. And his mom and dad said to me last weekend, he's not allowed to call us mom and dad. He has to call us birth parent. It's happening to our children. It's happening to our parents. A far left agenda that disrespects every human person. And somehow we have to live together. In all of the various challenges of human life and human relationships, you and I are invited to reflect on how we're different, how we're similar. But one thing that binds us together, God is the creator, we are the servant and the creature, and we are called to follow the command of the Lord, to love life, to do good with life, and to continue to respect life in every stage, in every circumstance, and to realize that God is God and you and I are not. To respect life means to give it dignity at every stage, in every circumstance, with all its beauty and challenge, its sacrifice and struggles, all its wonder and complexity. In 1999, Pope John Paul II spoke about what it means when it comes to children with special needs. To welcome the weakest, he said, helping them on their journey is a sign of civilization. These persons belong in every way to the category of the poor and the vulnerable who will inherit the kingdom of heaven. The gospel reminds us that it is in faith that we walk. It is in faith that we serve. It is in faith that we are prophets and servants of a culture of life, that the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who accept it as a child. In other words, it belongs to the most trusting, the most open, the most vulnerable among us. It belongs to children like Sarah or Michael. On this Respect Life Sunday, we are truly reminded that it's not just one issue. It's not conception and life in the womb. It certainly is that, but it's also how we treat one another, care for one another throughout the seasons of life. We cannot overlook the ways in which our culture does not respect life, and in fact dismisses it or even discards it and throws it away. It happens at abortion clinics, like the one down the street. It happens in nursing homes where the old and the frail are ignored or warehoused or so often treated as a burden, as an inconvenience. It happens in our schools, our homes, and our families where there's domestic violence. Children are taunted, abused, and bullied. It happens in laboratories where embryos are treated like commodities to be harvested instead of lives to be nurtured and formed. The Holy Father wrote, "It is because of Jesus that Christians are sensitive to the dignity of the human person. God wants life, not death." And God calls us to see the darkness around us, no pun intended, and the darkness that is in our culture and in our society. As we hear from the prophet Habakkuk, each one of us knows the reality of violence. Each one of us understands misery, sorrow, sadness, strife, and clamorous discord, both in our country, in our world, and even in our church and our families. And sometimes you and I look up to heaven and say, "Is there anyone up there watching the store? Why don't you do something about this?" And the answer is in that first reading today. God looks down at us and says, "What do you do about it? What are you doing about it? How can you impact the culture of death and disrespect with the culture of life?" And in God's good time, God is in his heaven and will certainly respond generously, faithfully, and joyfully. But in the meantime, we are to follow St. Paul's advice. Stir into flame the gift that God has given us through our baptism, through the imposition of his hands. To stir into flame a spirit of courage and strength rather than cowardice and being afraid to hurt someone's feelings. We are so politically correct today, and that causes us to be silent, to be apathetic, to be indifferent. We don't want to ruffle anyone's feathers. Well, that's my job. That's your job. It's our vocation to speak the truth and to ask the Lord what the apostles asked in today's gospel: increase our faith. Faith that moves mountains, faith that changes cultures, faith that makes an impact by standing up, by prayer, by action, and by being a witness, a profitable witness and servant of life. Let us seek out opportunities to honor this priceless gift, this precious miracle. We often take life for granted, but when you hold a little child at the beginning of its fourth month in the palm of your hand, and you see fingernails, you see toes and hands, you see a little form that looks like his mom or dad, and you hold that child while slowly taking his last breath, you are never, never amazed, and always amazed at the gift and the miracle of life that each one of us are privileged to share. Let us look into our hearts, into our minds, into our example, into our words, and our prayerful discussions, that we may continue to be a witness to life, that we may be part of a culture of life and love. Whether it's Sarah or Michael or a young person trying to discern the path of life, for our parents, for our civil and spiritual leaders, that we may work together and truly be a culture of life. Here is one like me. Here is a life that is unique and blessed, created by God and the one who created us all. Let us pray for light in our darkness, that we may see clearly that God has each of us in the palm of his hand, will continue to bless us, renew his spirit in us, and give us every courage and strength to be the servant of life that each of us are called to be.